Here we go. We are rolling. I hope you guys have had an amazing week. I hope you've had an amazing weekend. I'm excited because this past weekend, we really had like our session on Thursday, which I believe really got down to the nuts and bolts of what we were supposed to be about in planning this year. And just kicking off and jump starting our very best year ever. Then I was blessed to get to be a part of an event online that was with a friend of mine, where I spoke this weekend, and there was just something about that. It further affirmed our vision. For those of you that joined us, if you didn't, I'm going to be re-recording that session totally separate for my podcast. So definitely be a part of the podcast. It will be on, should be next week. Now, if you're listening to this later, it should be found in week 2 of February. We've got an amazing show planned for this week where I am welcoming one of my dear friends, Cash Memphis, our interview was powerful. So you don't want to miss this week's either. However, next week will be a session that I think is going to be just a beautiful, follow-up of what we're here for, what we're here to be about, living that life that Christ has called us to live. Okay. Now, real quick, I do want to just give a shout out that this week, Wednesday, is when I need all of your points. For those of you who have been taking part in that part of the challenge to earn points and be a finisher, I want to celebrate you Thursday night. So make sure to gather up all your points and submit them by Wednesday night, preferably at midnight, please. I'm not going to crush you if it's my time versus your time. That's not what I'm worried about or thinking about. What I just need it so I can make sure that by Thursday evening, I have a tally of points, because not only do we have our prize for finishers, but I have some other special prizes that I think are going to be really a big surprise for those of you who have really been crushing it during this time. Let's just say that there are some big perks to having been live and participating and just joining in and supporting one another. So I've seen that, and I just want to reward it. Anyway, if you didn't participate in the challenge, oh my goodness, still hop over to my website, grab this course, because now you've got 8 weeks. As of today, you have 8 different sessions that are going to come alongside of you. At any time you want to restart, you want to jumpstart your year. This, I believe, is some of my most exciting recordings that we've done, because we got down to the nitty-gritty of planning your year and really spending this whole last month sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from Him, hearing Holy Spirit, letting Him pour into us vision, which, hold on, that's going to be our topic today. But letting Him help you to give you His plan and His strategy for this year. I love what we've done the last few weeks. And what I love the most, I love when several of you have shared with me your aha moments. Those moments where all of the hard work of sitting and asking yourself very difficult, challenging questions has come full circle. You know, we haven't talked about your marketing plan. We haven't built your website. We haven't set up your podcast. We haven't, some of you may have done some of these things, by the way. However, that's not really been the focus this month. This month has been more focused on coming alongside of one another, sitting in the presence of the Lord. Because you know what? We can do a lot of great things on our own, but what I believe God is saying in this season is for us to stop this stuff. He's doing a new thing among us. He doesn't want a people who can make their to-do list and just go and do what they can do in their strength. I believe he's wanting people of vision, people who have a heart after his heart, who can crawl up in his big comfy arms and hear him for what he wants to do in them and then through them. So, man, this is a set. If you missed it and you want to grab it, it is not too late. No. And actually, you can grab it at any time. You can find it there at my website, cindyrushton.com. Grab this set. I'm serious. If you need coaching, hey, you can top up. Use the coupon inside that set that gives you 50% off my coaching. Yeah, it's next step. I'll go ahead and tell you now. The coupon is next steps. And the coupon code is right there on the membership page. If you scroll to the bottom, you can hire me for coaching. It can be personal coaching. It can be your coaching throughout the year where you do your, I'm talking about the hardcore. You put me on the dial on your dollar for 15-minute coaching along the way. The only thing I ask on that, the criteria for 15-minute coaching is, did you take your last step we talked about? I want you taking action. So, but man, that is crazy. It's like $9.97. You can do that for half off for the whole year. Come on. You can't beat that. So for those of you who need more help, grab that. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. And I have a really big announcement Thursday night. So hang tight. I think you're going to love this. Okay, you guys, today I want to dig into our 8th session. This session just fills me to overflowing because actually there's a part of me that wanted it to be the first, but it would, I guess, be a little too cliche if it were first, that because this is probably what you heard everybody else saying on the first session of the new year. Get a vision. And some of you were probably really keen to say when you read different things about the vision for the new year, those special words that people were hearing, trying to hear their word for the year, they were setting their resolutions for the year. Maybe there was something inside of you that after last year was just a little bit skeptical, was a little bit, sorry, I kind of got burned last year. I don't know if I want this. So you know what? I think that this is actually the perfect session for today. Because what the reason I've taken you on the journey that we've gone on is because truly, I don't think we can really hear, and I say hear the vision, see the vision. I don't think we can hear God for the vision if we don't first hear him for who he says we are. And what his plans are for us, what we've got in our hand, what he is placing upon our heart. I don't believe we can do that if we are not set on what he says about us and what he wants to do in and through us. I don't think that we can get even that if we don't see that this is everything that we struggle with, everything that we battle with. There are so many great men and women that have gone before us that have dealt with the very same things. So today, I believe, is a beautiful wrap up. We've looked at who we are, what we're here for, why we're here, what we want. We've looked at all these things. And today, I want to just ask you, what do you see? What do you see? What is it that you are specifically here for? What is it that God wants to do in and through you now? Now, what do you see? What is it that he's doing right now? It's so beautiful. Can you see it? Well, hang with me. I just want for you to first know that a person without a vision is always going to go back to their past. They're always going to go back to their default. I've thought an awful lot about that the last few years, because if I have a very clear vision, if I just see and I'm in agreement, let me just say this, it's more than just seeing, because there can be doubt and there can be confusion. There can be a lack of clarity. We're going to talk about that today. there can be a lot of obstacles in the way that keep us from fully seeing how it pans out. Even there can be darkness where we don't necessarily see much beyond the next step. The next step, you guys, the next step. You know what I mean? And that makes it very scary for those of us who are, I say that my basic personality, I like to know the plan. I like to know. I'm not the only person. Man, that, do you know that in the Garden of Eden, that one of the things that I believe Satan preyed upon with Adam and Eve was that deep desire that is set within us to know, to know. Yeah, we all have that. It can trip us all up, though. I can tell you, it's been the thing that's tripped me up so many times. How about you? Well, for Adam and Eve, it did. They wanted to remember the scripture, know as God knew. That was their thing. And they felt like he was maybe holding out on them from being able to truly know. And maybe if they took of this fruit, that they could know like he knew. Whoa. We get into that trap and we get there. And some of us sit stuck because we know what we have right now. But on the other side, we're not totally clear about it. And we sit in the default. We sit in the comfort zone. Okay, now you know what I'm saying here? Oh, yeah. I have done this so many times myself. As a matter of fact, every single time, if I look back and I look at the times where I've been stuck, the times where I've not been as productive, the times where I've just got by, and I do that just like anybody else. During those times, it's because I don't have a clear vision. I can't see me on the other side of that. I don't really see or feel or know what that's going to be like. And it scares me. So I just pull back, shy back. I don't move out in it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope you know what I'm saying here. I'm just like you guys. This is like in every area of our life. If we don't clearly see, something in us doesn't move out. We don't move forward. We don't grasp on. You know, I think it's very interesting if you look at scripture that the Bible is clear to say that there's something inside of us that God has made inside of us. This is not a bad thing inside of us. I just want you guys to know. In fact, it says he set eternity in our hearts. So sometimes we don't know how to get past that loss because we may have wanted that feeling of love or that feeling of comfort, that feeling of being a daughter or a son to stay and remain. Maybe we have been more comfortable the way that we are, even though we're really not comfortable and we're really not satisfied. But maybe we were more comfortable there. So it's hard to just take that step forward. I know that in my coaching with clients, one of the things that I see many people get tripped up on, it's because they just can't see how it all works out. They really have a hard time fitting something into their life. Like a ministry, man. Of course, this is big. I have a hashtag I use a lot, biz life, hashtag ministry life, because part of it is that we've got to get a good, clear vision of what everything looks like pulling it together. And there are some things, by the way, that we're going to talk about in a little bit that just have to go. And some of those are things we love. I'm telling you, do you think I've ever let go of things that, I mean, there are some things I would go, yeah, bye now. However, there's some things I've had to let go of that all I can say is it was heart-wrenching. It was very difficult. I actually totally feel the pain, how, I guess there's no better way to say this, of pruning, like how a tree, do you know that when a tree is pruned, it literally bleeds? I get the, when you're pruning things and it's about bleeding, you know, I mean, you come to that place of just bleeding out. I've been there. I've had things that I loved that I had to let go of. But guess what? I am not alone. And you know what? Everything I have let go of, I look back and my testimony is that letting go of it, oh my goodness, was so worth it. Because guess what? What I grasped onto was so much bigger and so much more what God designed. But there's something inside of us that resists that. And it pulls back and it sabotages the success that really God wants for us. So, you know what? Without a vision, we always go back. We go back to our defaults. And that can be in anything. Weight loss. I mean, how many people start and maybe they have a vision, or that's what we might would say, for a certain number on the scales. But why don't we get there? I believe that many times it's because our vision is about a number on the scale. And if we don't see it pretty fast, we go back. Do you see what I'm saying? Whereas embracing and living the life today that is our tomorrow, that's a whole different ballgame. I'm talking about, like, I was just working with Heather. Heather, thank you. Thank you. Told you would hear this again. But Heather and I were working just this past week for me in an area. And she said, let's look at 6 months from now. I said, perfect. That's my birthday in 6 months. Perfect. And we looked forward to 6 months to birthday Cindy. And we said, how would she feel about this? What's that day going to be like for her? What can she do today that she couldn't do in January? And you know what? That messed me up. But that's what we're talking about. I believe God wants us to get to that place where we totally can see. Because I promise you guys, and you're going to see this at the end of the session, God can see things for you. And I believe part of this is getting in agreement and truly seeing through his eyes what he sees. Maybe it's that fit and healthy Cindy or Janelle or Lisa or Heather. Maybe it's getting out of debt. What does that look like? What does that feel like? How different is it? Because I'm telling you, if the vision isn't greater than the pain of getting there, the denying of self to get there, we stay in the comfort place, however uncomfortable it can be, however difficult it can be, because we zone out of how uncomfortable it is today and how it grieves our heart, and we don't look forward to the joy set before us. More on that in a bit. But maybe it's trying to clean and organize the house. Can we just sit and see things as they really are? And then how we want them to be and dare to move towards it, taking action? Maybe it's building a marriage, a relationship, a home, definitely a business. Writing that book. Can you see yourself as the author? Can you see yourself as that blogger? Can you see yourself having that product line? Maybe having that table when you go and speak, full of your treasures. I call them my babies. You know, I get a big full quiver of books and babies and audios. I remember when it was just a dream. It wasn't a reality. No, I remember when I actually, some of you probably even still have them, I used to print up the articles and things. That was pretty much all I had that I could give to people and put in their hand. And then God began to work in me and give me so many beautiful, I say, birthings of books. He planted so many of them inside of me. And I know they're Holy Spirit filled. I know they're Holy Spirit led. But can you see that? Somebody said the other day, they said, you just pop out that you wrote 150 books as if it's nothing. I said, well, it's kind of like, I know it's something because I experienced God in each and every one of those. But I feel like right now what he's doing inside me, what he's putting into a work right now is probably the most amazing ever. because he takes us from glory to glory. He takes us from thing to thing to thing to thing. Why? Because he wants us to experience his glory right now in and through us, what he can do in and through us. Can you see it? Maybe it's working on your business. Maybe it's marketing your products, on and on. You know what? A person without a vision is always going to go back to their past. If you don't have a vision, you're always going to go back to what is familiar, what you can see. Oh, yeah. You've got to be able to see it. See it. I'm talking about really see it. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to grasp a hold of it. This is one of the key reasons I see many of my clients struggle. I see many of them, they cannot see themselves as a writer. They cannot see themselves as a speaker. They cannot see themselves as an entrepreneur, a person in business. And they act like it. Yeah. Ooh, did that sound harsh? It's not meant to be. But yeah, they act like it. You can see it on their websites because they act like everybody else out there without vision, just doing a lot of stuff. Maybe it's writing a bunch of words. Maybe it's putting a lot of content out there. Maybe it's just putting the next thing. One of the reasons I asked you guys to sit and hear God for who you are and what you're here for, what your message is because what you do matters, and you can't be like everybody else out there. You've got a message. It is imperative that you do it now. Now. I've been in this class for school, and one of the things that they have been asking us in this class is about strategy and about strategic planning. Organization, strategic organizing. I may not, strategic organization. And in that, one of the things that keeps coming up is knowing your why, knowing who your people are, knowing who you are. It's so vital. We have to be able to have a vision of that, a clear vision, before we can ever begin to impart to others. And that means even your future clients. I believe that that's some of the lack of clarity that many businesses have now, because they are about maybe the strategy, but they're not about the vision. God's got a specific vision for you. The Bible even says in Proverbs 22:18 that without a vision, people perish. Hold on. I'm not talking about that you're going to just kick over and die. I mean, that could possibly happen, but no, it's the word there, perish. It means that you're going to die. Maybe it's more on the inside. Maybe it's more dying to your dreams, your purpose, your calling. It's drying up, fizzling up, fizzle out, burning up, burning out. It's just getting by. It's just existing. It's just surviving. It's not thriving. And my goodness, there's enough of that in this season. We see too many people today who are wore out. They are burned out. They are just getting by. You know what? It's because Satan knows about this. He loves to steal, to kill, to destroy, nothing more than our dreams, our goals, our calling, our life purpose. In fact, that is going to be one of his number one strategies. I years ago came across the Screwtape Letters. It's a book by C.S. Lewis. If you've never read it, I seriously recommend it as one of the next resources that you read. It's in my top 10, and it's really one of my top five books that's impacted my life. And it has given me an awareness of how to live my life as a Christian. But in that book, it's interesting because he talks about this uncle demon who is basically training and mentoring this little young nephew demon. And this young nephew demon is assigned to basically guard, watch after this one Christian or one guy. Well, he bombs, he messes up. The guy becomes a Christian. And, oh, Uncle Demon is just all upset. But here's what it says. And it really got my attention when I read this. It just jumped out of the book on me. He said, well, if we can't basically get them to not believe, then we have got to keep them from fulfilling their purpose. We've got to keep them from being able to be a success at what they're called to do. It's what Satan and his cronies all know. You have a power inside of you as a believer that has a purpose. And when you are not fulfilling your purpose, he knows that there are people that are hurting. There are people that are struggling. There are people that are not able to be a success in what they are doing. They wonder if anybody cares. They wonder if God cares. That's why there's no mistake. I believe that Janelle is called to minister to those who are exactly where she was when she had difficulties as a little girl, or even as she lost her spouse. I don't think it's by accident, but I do think it's very purposeful that the enemy has loved to pull her aside away from that. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's nothing he loves to steal, kill, or destroy more than dreams, goals, our calling, our life purpose, nothing more. He loves to discourage. In fact, one of his works that he has, and some of you are probably sitting right here in this, one of his works is to discourage, and I'm talking about to discourage to such a point where you're depressed or you're in despair. You don't see a way forward. You don't see a way to move out. You don't see it because guess what? He's after your vision. He's after your vision. He knows. He knows. If he can't get you one way, he's going to get you another way. And the very thing he does not want is to see you move forward, because you know what? You do damage to his kingdom. You take ground that is your ground, by the way, but that he's already stolen from you. He wants to discourage you, because if he can discourage you, you won't step out. You won't step into your promise. You won't move forward. He's done this all throughout time. This is one of his ways. Do you think it's by accident that when the Israelites first came to the land, that there were two that could see clearly and the others were just talking about things that they were seeing and was totally discouraging? In fact, it was so discouraging that the Israelites did not move forward in the vision, and they did not listen to the direction of God, and they sat in the wilderness another 40 years till all of them died off but the two that could see. And guess what? When it was time to go back into the promised land, when it was time to go into the promised land, God told them to move on out. You know, guess what? Those guys did. They could see it. They could see it. Still crystal clear. They were in agreement, though, this time. Everybody else was in agreement. You know what? Satan had discouraged, the enemy had discouraged the people the first go around, but the second go around, no, they took the land. They took back, they took and grasped a hold of their promise. You guys, the enemy will discourage you. And he will discourage you to the point of despair, depression. I'm talking about to the point where you feel like everything's gone. This is the picture of what happens when we don't have a vision. He will also send dream killers and dream stealers all along the way. This is how he works. Don't be surprised when you go and you share with someone that you value their ideas and their perspective. You go to them and you share with them what God is doing, and they totally, totally kill your dream or steal your dream away. some of you are probably very surprised, but I remember when it was time for me to step out, I had had a season of about 12 years that was very much in solitude, God preparing me for my calling. And I remember one night when he came to me and said, it's time. Now, do you think deep in my heart, I really wanted that? No, I was really looking for a million reasons why it couldn't be. I remember calling a couple people who I thought would really, poo-poo that idea and tell me, nope, you're crazy. Do you know what was hilarious? I laugh because those were the most negative people I knew, but they were like, yes, you should definitely do this. I was shocked. But you know what? I went to my pastor and you know, he told me, he said, well, I want you to go and sit over here under this person. Now, some of you would go, well, why wouldn't you? Well, because I guess at the time my husband told me I couldn't. He told me it was time. He was one of the people I went to see. I thought for sure he knew me better than anybody on the planet knew me. And he would stop me surely, right? No. No, but my pastor did. I was put into the library at that church, serving in the library, which is okay. I like serving. But you know what God told me in the library? He told me, he said, Cindy, I'm not asking permission of the people at this church or for you to have a role in this specific church. I'm asking you to step into your calling, and I want you to do this through your home. I want you to do this in everyday life. I want you to do this with your gifts, your talents, your bents. I'm doing a new thing in you. I did not get that. You guys, I did not get that. That was many, many years ago. And can I just tell you, if I were like many people I've seen since, and I went to the pastor and the pastor said no, I would go, huh, good. That would feed my flesh. It would tell me what I wanted to hear so bad. No, not time. No way. Not you. How many of you are there? I believe that the enemy knows this and he's going to have people around you. That's why you've got to be in community. You've got to be in community, a community that is in the word, that we are here, that they're hearing God, that they are able to truly come alongside of you and encourage you and help you to pursue your dreams. Because I can tell you, if you've got a next step, your next step is not next century. Your next step is today. It's your next step now. You're not going to see beyond today's step. And it may look like a leap, but it is for today. It is for today. And when you take that step, you're going to find that the next step, you're going to see it very clearly too. But this isn't that you are seeing what you're to do right now. This is not a later that you're to take. This is a right now. I get to thinking about, okay, going back to that pastor in that situation. I get to thinking about, what if I had listened? I wonder when would have been enough sitting at her feet. Because actually, I look back and I see that opportunities began to come at me, and I had already spent, again, 12 years. He didn't know that. He didn't know my story. He didn't even ask that story. I have no idea what he was thinking at that moment, but I can tell you that was not the first time God called me. God called me when I was 8. He called me again when I was barely 19. This was at 28, and I went to him again. You know, I went to him right after that. I had already had quiet years of pursuing God. I'd already been doing some of the things, like some of the work. I'd been serving in the church. I had been running in other churches, women's ministries. I had already been doing so many different things. And what God was calling me to do, if I had listened to him, I would have missed my step then. Totally missed my step then. And I look at every step, I laugh. I tell people, the people have asked me, like, how did you step into your calling? And I kind of laugh because I think, okay, it was kind of like the Lipton iced tea plunge where I said, okay, God, I can't do this myself. What do you want? I'm here. And it was like, as I fell back into him, it was like I was out there so deep. I didn't know. I couldn't have done it myself. I couldn't have done it by myself. I couldn't have made it happen. I wouldn't have made it happen. And I can tell you that there are people who believed in that and who saw it, who kind of were probably the ones pushing me out there. And then there were those that didn't get it. And you know what? I have no idea where they're at today. I just know the things that God has had me do. And it's gone from one glory, that next step's really very far away. How do I do it? To taking that step and then finding that he's got me down this way and this way. And they're big steps. And sometimes I don't think I'm going to make it either. And yet, God always, always takes me from one glory to the next, to the next, to the next. It's how he works. But you know what? How does the enemy work? He will send you dream killers. He'll still send you dream stealers. He'll send you obstacles and hindrances and distractions and chaos and interruptions so that they hold you back. Okay, I'm telling you, some of you have faced this. Every time you say yes to the Lord, yes, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do, what happens? Can I ask you that? Could it be that at that point, that's where Satan says, okay, she's going to do this if I don't start sending some stuff. And he's seen where you may pause and you may think, oh, wait, did I do something wrong? Ooh, maybe I'm doing it too fast. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that now. If he sees that his obstacles, hindrances, distractions, chaos, interruptions, if he sees that those are going to hold you back, let me tell you, you will always have a life of that. The minute that you press past them and you say, I am going to commit all the way, 100%, I'm in, and you can see it clearly, the minute that you are there, guess what happens? That's when the enemy has to make way. He has to move aside. He can't keep up with that. He's got to come up with some other strategies. And you know what? Those things, I remember the very first speaking engagement I had. Do you know what happened that night? I got home that night and found out that my ex-husband, his grandmother passed away. She was my very, very best friend. In fact, she was such a Titus II mentor. She was the reason that I said yes to the speaking engagement. Do you know what I'm saying? She passed away. And you talk about me going, oh my goodness, do I need to be here for my husband? Do I need to be there for my kids? Should I even go forward? What am I thinking? I'm going to be a hot mess. And you know what? I went, and it was a very vulnerable, very precious day. I'll never forget that day. That day set a tone. I realized that day that the enemy, one of the things he had wanted to do was he had wanted to come in against what I was supposed to be doing. I faced a lot of interruptions, a lot of crisis situations. I faced a lot of sickness. I went through losing 7 babies. I remember even one event miscarrying while I was there. It was a very, very difficult moment. I went from being on the stage to going back to bed. Yeah. And now I look back and I just think he learned right then that those things were not going to trip me up. But you know what I've seen with my friends? I've seen many of my friends that is exactly where he trips them up. Because the enemy will set up those obstacles and hindrances and distractions, chaos and interruptions all along the way if they will keep you from your calling. Because again, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy you, your calling, your life purpose, your influence. He wants you to think that it will never happen, or that it's not going to happen for you or even for you. Yeah, it's one of his good lies, because he's a liar. He is a liar. How does he know? He doesn't know your calling. He doesn't know your vision. He just knows the power that comes from that for the kingdom of God. God knows. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the enemy, he wants for you to believe him. He doesn't want you to believe God. He wants for you to see through his eyes, because he is looking a whole nother way. He's got a plan for you, just like God has a plan for you. And the way that he has is that broad path, that way that looks right for us, and it distracts. And I'm here's the thing to know. I remember C.S. Lewis, one other thing that he has written, and he says, and I believe he knows it better than anybody, because look how productive he was. Look how much of an impact. He is pretty much one of the guys they call a modern day theologian. He's an amazing, if you've never read some of his theology, it's pretty deep. I've studied some of the things he says, and some things I agree with, some things I don't. But what I do think is amazing is he had a certain perspective on warfare and on the enemy's tactics that many people miss. One of the things he said is he said that the enemy will always bring to you good because he doesn't want you going for the best. Now, it's funny that I know I'm using the word good, and you'll hear me at other times say God has a good, good plan for you. But God has got a good plan. His good is the real good. Satan's is a camouflage. It is a counterfeit. It is a substitute. It is a way that looks right. It looks good. It looks like the way you should go and the easy way. But I can tell you, it's nothing but a path down to destruction. And once he gets you down that path, instead of the narrow way, the way, the truth, the life that Jesus has for us, once he gets you down that path, he has got you right where he wants you. Cool thing is, at any point, Jesus will take you and put you right back on the plan. He will take you, and that may be where some of you are today. Satan wants you to think that these are good things. You could be teaching at your church. And hey, by the way, if that's where you're supposed to be teaching, no problem. But for many of you, you've sat for many years looking for the church to send you out. That's not who sends you out. God sends you out. He says, I've made this, you are my royal priesthood. You're my kingdom. You're my church. And he's got a calling. He's got a calling for you. He can speak directly to you. You don't have to have permission by someone else to be ordained to be in your position that God has got for you. Some people are going, whoa. Okay, just ask the Lord. Get in the Bible, read what he says. Yes, we need community. Yes, we need our church fellow family. That's the best way to use the word. Church. Yes, we need ecclesia. Yes, 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 yes. But the minute that they are serving God, the enemy's purpose, and saying, no, whoa, pause, don't. No. What did Jesus do? Every time that he healed and he restored, he redeemed people, what did he do? He said, go and do. They didn't have to go to school for it. They didn't have to go back to church to a program for it. And I'm speaking this as one who has studied and helps churches grow. Let me just say that. That's part of my degree field. However, I can tell you what the Bible says. We've got to be in agreement. We've got to be in agreement. The enemy would love for you to think you can't do because somebody else is supposed to say you can do it. That you're not prepared enough. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Yeah. Cause you know what? He wants you to think that it's not time. It's not time. When God says, what does God say? Now, today. So can I ask you, how does he distract you? How does he blur your vision? Can I ask you, what is even blurring your vision today? Are you needing to desperately get away with God? Some of you, you've been spending this whole month getting away with God, and I think this is beautiful. This is perfect preparation. This will help your year to jumpstart correctly. Are you needing that time though? Yes, you need that time. You need that time on a daily. I had one of my counselors not too long ago, back in the summer. She and I were talking, and she gave me an assignment for the whole next week for me to not give anything that God was giving me. she said that he was calling me into this sacred, secret place. He wanted to do things that were just me and him. And you guys know my heart. You know how I am. You know that there's something in me that desires that. But here's the thing I have to tell you. When she started to say that I couldn't share anything, she said, I don't want you sharing anything until I tell you that you can. And I was like, whoa, who are you? Get behind me, Satan. I'm just kidding. I did not. She said, here's the deal. She said, this is how I see you. She said, you're that person, you bake cookies and you give all the cookies to everybody else and you don't even take a bite yourself. You've bought the lies. You've bought the lies. And I remember sitting there, tears streaming down my face, knowing, yep, I knew what she was talking about. It was more than dieting. It was that when I get into a dysfunction, I get to always wanting to help everybody else, and I don't even help myself. The Bible says in the New Testament, Paul asks, teachers, you who teach others, do you teach yourself? And I want to stretch that scripture into a Cindy version and say today, teachers, you who are teaching others, do you teach yourself? Prophets who are giving word, hearing from God for others, have you heard from God yourself lately? Healers, those who are called by God to go and take the healing of God out into the body, have you been healed yourself, spirit, soul, and body lately? Servants. Now this, I know the answer to this one, don't you? You who serve others, do you serve yourself? You guys, I believe God is calling us apart to a secret, sacred place. When we pull apart and we let Him be our teacher, we let Him be our lover, we let Him be our everything, there's something different that comes out. But when we are so focused on the doing and the works and the being for all things for everybody, you know what? I believe that it blurs our vision. It messes us up. We don't really tap in and hear God and hear His message and hear what He wants us to be about. And I'm telling you, we trip up. We don't take that next step, that step. Maybe that's a big leap. Because we think we've got to do it safe. We think that we have to do it in our own strength. We miss it. There's something about that secret, sacred place that God has that it enables us to do great things. I think about John 6. Think about this. You know, in John 6, the apostles had just fed the 5,000. And what I think is interesting is the passage there in John 6. It says, the apostles who had been sent out on a mission gathered together with Jesus and told Him everything they had done and taught. And He said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. For there were many people who were continually going, coming and going. They could not even find time to eat. Uh-oh. Wait, hold on. Pause. They had just been feeding 5,000 people and they had not ate themselves. You who feed other people, do you not feed yourself? Ouch. So come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. For there were many people who were continually coming and going, and they could not even find time to eat. They went away by themselves in a boat to a secluded place. I love it in the Passion Version. It says it this way. There has been such a swirl of activity around Jesus with so many people coming and going that they were unable to even eat a meal. So Jesus said to the disciples, come, let's take a break and find a secluded place where you can rest a while. My sweet friends, this is what I'm talking about. One of the reasons I believe that we have blurred vision often is because we desperately need to get away and just get along with God. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're in fear. Maybe we are so focused on feeding everybody else, that we are not eating for ourselves. Maybe we aren't eating the cookies. Maybe it's our perfectionism. Maybe it's our procrastination. Maybe we're tired and weary. Maybe we lack direction. Maybe we're overburdened and we need to lighten the load. We got everything just piled up and we're not able to be light and carry a light load and do the things that only God wants us to do. Maybe we're distracted, we're hindered, we're interrupted, we're having chaos. Maybe we're having crisis situations and we don't see clearly. Maybe we're insecure. Maybe we're too busy looking back to look ahead. Maybe we're not letting go of something, good or bad. Oh, whoa, pause. How many of us so, again, love what we have had and we cherish it. We are so thankful for it. We've enjoyed certain parts of it. But letting go is awfully difficult for us. I remember how hard it was whenever I first stepped into ministry. It meant that I had to step out of some things. It was difficult. Even going back to school, I remember in 2016 when I went back to school. By the way, all I was doing at the time was working, or so I thought. I was doing some acting and I was doing, I was working full-time, I mean like all the time. But one of the things that I thought, well, I have plenty of time. I can study. I have hours a day I could be studying. And I could, you know, the next 4 years are going to pass. Either way, I could go ahead and get degrees in this time. But however, let me tell you something. The very first thing I started noticing was that it was like another full-time job. And I had to let some things go. I had made the commitment. I knew I had heard God on it, but things had to go. You know what? It wasn't that those things were bad things that I had been doing. Many of them were really good things. They're really good things that I believe have opened doors for me. I believe that they have, they've given me ministry at the time that I was supposed to be doing. But I remember specifically some things that I loved that God said, not this season. I might could have it later, but he was like, no, not this season. And as I laid those things down, I realized God had so many good things that he was beginning to move me towards, things I didn't think I could have or do. That's how God works. He wants us to let go of the things that maybe have prepared us. Maybe they have helped us to get where we are, but there's greater. There's even more amazing, more awesome things ahead. If we are holding on to something good or bad, we're not going to see clearly. We're not going to take the steps. We're not going to move out in our vision. Maybe it's, again, dream killers or pride. Maybe it's negativity inside of us, from ourselves and from others, from the devil. Come on, we get it. We tell ourselves all kinds of stories. And those things hold us back. They blur our vision. Maybe it's our personal limits and our personal lids. Oh, whoa. What does that mean? I remember a few years ago where God moved on my heart and he showed me that I had put limits and lids that he didn't put them there. They were things I was in agreement with the enemy in that area. I put the lids and limits. He says all things are possible through him. That will blur your vision very quick if you don't believe him in that. Maybe you think, oh my goodness, I can't do this ministry. Oh, I can't do this thing. I don't have the money for it. Hello, I am the one who first has to count all the costs. And yet God's constantly telling me, Cindy, are you the provider? Am I? Are you yoked up with me? I can carry loads. I can pave the way. I can make things happen. I can provide for you. I just want you hearing what I'm asking you to do. I want you to push the limits. I want you to go places you don't think you can go. I don't want you putting a lid on yourself or on what I can do. I don't want you to go and put yourself in this little box, this small place. I want for you to put yourself into the path that I am calling you to, but that path leads you to life. Abundant, full, lavish, overflowing life. Anything less, it blurs our vision. Maybe it's sin. I've been there myself. I remember being not in the distant past. I'm talking about in the past. It's been over a year now that I was in sin, compromised. And God said, no, that has to clear. You have to clear that mess up. You can't hear me. You won't do what I ask you to do if you aren't doing what I ask you to do. And I'm talking about our sins can be a whole plethora of things. We have to get real. They will blur our vision. We'll tell ourselves things that, well, maybe it's just not time. Maybe I have to wait for this to happen so I can get rid of this. Or maybe I've been here and done this. I know this one. We compromise and compromise and compromise, and we delay. The bottom line is our faith is stepping into things we don't see that we could only dare to hope for. It's stepping out in faith when we don't see, when it's only a hope, and anything less than faith is sin, and it's going to blur our vision, anything less. Maybe we need to rest. Oh my goodness. I laugh because I jokingly say all the time that these glasses only work for so many hours a day. And there's a point where I can't see through them. And you know what? It always means I need to rest. I need to go apart, get some rest. Rest, I think, is interesting because if we see the Ten Commandments, many of us would never, ever, ever push it in adultery, covetousness, murder. You know what I mean? I know better than to cross my mom and my daddy. I honor my mom and dad, period. Have no temptation in some of those areas, but you know where the enemy many times trips me up is in the area of rest. That taking that full day. Yesterday was so hard. It's my Sabbath. It's my Mondays are my Sabbath. And to just do nothing, literally rest. It was very difficult for some reason yesterday. The funny thing is now I look at it and I think, wow, I see why it was difficult, because the enemy was trying to trip me up again. It's that is one way he gets me. He gets me thinking that it's about me and it's about me doing the time. It's about me doing the work. It's about me pursuing my to-dos. Hello, let me just tell you something. The Sabbath, the Lord tells us what the whole purpose of the Sabbath was. It's that we would have 6 days to work and one day to rest, because guess what? That's where he does the rest. And you know what? When we get into this work mode and our to-dos, all we start seeing are all of our post-it notes or our to-dos, and we don't look at him and follow his steps, hear his voice. And it totally blurs our vision. Is it pushing limits? Well, I can't tell you the number of times I've done that one. You know, I will never forget what got me to the point where I was depressed. I felt like I was at one point, like I was in the very bottom of a canyon and I couldn't get up. I tried laughing. I tried speaking the word, you know, all these things these people say. Boy, I'm rooted and grounded right around some amazing men and women of God. And I know what they're saying is the word, but there's times, I'm going to tell you something, I think they miss it. The reason I think they miss it is because many of them will say, just laugh until you're back up. Laugh. Release the joy that's inside of you. You know, change your view, change your words, change your life. I mean, I hear all this, and I'm telling you, I was at that point down in the pit. down at the very bottom of the canyon. I was at the very bottom. I was so powerless and so weak, so wore out, so burdened that I couldn't get back up. And I'll never forget that point where the Lord said, well, Cindy, do you want out? Have you been here in this space long enough? And I was like, yep, I've been asking you. I've been asking you to just make me laugh again. Make me laugh. Make me laugh. Yeah, right. Come on, y'all. Somebody knows my story here. You've lived it yourself. And he said, the reason you're where you are is because you've been pushing your limits. You've been pushing them spirit, soul, and body. You've been on the edge and surprise. All it took was one little kick from life and you were off into this canyon. You have got to stop pushing your limits. Now, this is not saying personal limits. I hope I'm not sounding contradictory. Let me explain what I'm saying here. What I was saying is I was pushing my limits, not pushing God's limits. There's a different thing here. It was Cindy's things. Staying up too late, waking up too early. Work, 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 work. My relationships were in a mess. I was in a mess. My business was in a mess. My finances were in a mess. Come on. That will blur your vision because that's not the way he wants things. He wants us to yoke up with him. And when we do, when we hear him, when we yoke up with him, when we're in agreement with him, it becomes easy. Easy. We don't push our limits. We don't do something great by breaking his moral laws and codes. Again, if I wasn't resting, which was a big limit I pushed, if I wasn't resting, then surprise when my body starts to break down and get sick. Surprise. No, there's no surprise there. What about whenever I was trying to do all the things that I was doing, but it was in Cindy's strength, not tapped into the vine? There's a fine line. There's a place where I say, I do it myself. I sound like a three-year-old. Me do it myself. Me do it my way. Me do it my timing. That's what we're talking about, pushing the limits. I've never been back where I was, even when I was in a very difficult divorce, even when I walked through lots of loss, I never got back there again. Why? Because I realized, you know what? I can't keep pushing those limits. I did push limits. I made an agreement. Guess what? God brought the healing. It was amazing. I've never been back there again. You know what? The devil is coming, trying to blur our vision. We help him by doing the things that we do when we're walking in our flesh and trying to be super girl, super guy, and we're doing things our way. Surprise, just surprise when we crash, when we wear down, when we wear out. That brings me to the last thing that blurs our vision. I think it's interesting to me that somewhat every single time that I have had my vision blurred, I've been comparing to everybody else. Well, what are they doing? How are they getting things done? What's that? What's new? What's big today? And I remember years ago where God said, Cindy, if you will keep your eyes focused on me, if you will learn from me, if you'll do what I say, if you'll hear me when I say step, if you'll share the message I tell you to share, if you'll do the thing for the person that I put before you, then I'm going to keep you on the cutting edge. So often we sit and we look at, ooh, what are they doing in this program? What are they doing in that? We hear them even say to look and study it. I'm not saying be ignorant, by the way, and not learn something new because, man, that's what we're all about here is learning things new together, right? However, what I am saying is that there's something about comparing and learning and seeking others as those that we follow rather than daring to just trust God. He says, that you will know the will of him, what? When you daily sacrifice yourself, Romans 12, 1 through 2, when you'll bring yourself as a living sacrifice every day. That means you're renouncing your way, your will, your preferences. That means that you are coming and dying to self so you can, that you can walk with him and you can do the thing he asks you to do so you can hear him. You can conform to his way, conform to his will. You know, when we will dare to do that, I'm telling you guys, that's where we will see clearly. Again, Proverbs 22, 18 says, without a vision, the people perish, die, dry up, fizzle out, burn up, burn out. Yep. That is where we just exist. We just survive. We don't thrive. So what do? Get a vision, a clear vision. Yeah. I love 1 Chronicles 29:19. It says in the Message, and give my son Solomon an uncluttered heart so that he may obey what you command. Live by your directions and counsel and carry through with the building of the temple for which I provide. Isn't that good? Soak that in just a moment. Yeah, I'm talking about give my son Solomon an uncluttered heart. That's exactly what we're talking about here. An uncluttered heart. Being able to truly listen and obey what God commands, living by his direction, his counsel. Yes. And carrying through with the calling, the life purpose that God has for us. So uncluttered, we do everything. You know, think about this. Being so uncluttered that we do everything God tells us to do this year. Do you know what? He's got some big stuff he wants you doing this year. Do you know that? Yes, you do. You've been through this month. You've joined me this month and you've heard him this month. My friend, he has many amazing things he's wanting for you to do this year. It's not to be put off for another year. It is this year. He'll give you, hey, by the way, next year, he'll give you what he wants you to do next year. Or next month, he'll give you what he wants you to do next month. This is for now. Whatever he's put in your heart, I believe that it's time for you to be preparing. It's time for you to be stepping out. It's time for you to be living and doing it. Come on. You just need an uncluttered heart. Oh, uncluttered heart so you can do it. So how do we get there? What do we see? Well, we got to see it through God's eyes. We've got to be able to see through God's eyes. We got to hear through his heart, hear his heartbeat. I love Psalm 139. The pastor preached and he read it this past Sunday. And I thought it was really interesting what he was giving through Psalm 139. I want to read it in the Passion Bible because some of you probably know Psalm 139. It tells that God has, he's known you since you were in your mother's womb. He had a purpose for you from when, inside your mother's womb. Listen to how the Passion says this. It says, it's for the pure and shining one. It's David's poetic song. This is good. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You pursue every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. Oh, just pushed up too much. Okay, hold on. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak before I start a sentence. I want to throw out, go and look in Song of Songs in the Passion Version in chapters 1 and 2. One of the things it says there is that he sees your words as delicious. Okay, remember how he tells us in Psalm that we're to taste and see that his word is good. It's yummy. It's delicious. Guess what? He says your words, your voice. It's delicious. It's yummy. It's a delight to him. He says, you know, all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know, every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness, you followed behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Slow down just a moment. I want to go back there. Again, he knows every step you take before your journey even begins. Do you wonder why we need to get our vision from him, why we need to get alone with him, why we need to hear him? He knows exactly the steps you are to take before the journey even begins. He knows it may look dark to you, but he knows, and he is not going to lead you down this broad path that leads to destruction. No, he's got a narrow path. And it means you have to be very careful to take exactly that step or you'll get off that path. He knows every single step you are supposed to be taking. Soak that in. Because he says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. Whoo. What does that say to you? To me, I've been on paths before that were not very well prepared. In fact, I've had land where we were wanting to put a certain path. Do you know what it took to prepare the path? It took a lot of hard work. It says here that he's going before you. Look again. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you even follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Whoa, somebody needs that one. It's like he wants you to be right here with him. This is almost marriage talk, you guys. Remember in scripture in Genesis where the husband and the wife are to leave and to cleave and to become one? Part of that leave is leaving their identity, leaving their the things that they have had in the past and cleaving together, becoming one together. And this is exactly what God wants for us to do. He wants us to step out with him. We're on a journey with him, a journey that is for his beloved. Hang with me. I'm going to bring this back around and you're going to see you are his beloved. This is part of your identity of knowing who you are and what you're to be all about. He says, that here, though, the psalmist says, you read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak. Before I even start a sentence, you know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me even from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Whew. Good. So good. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It is impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere. It brings light into my night. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day, and there's no difference between the two. You form my inmost being, shaping my delicate inside. We're not just talking about your organs here, you guys. He shaped everything about you. My delicate inside, my intricate outside. You wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything that you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing into something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Who needs that? Oh, yeah. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you were thinking of me. How precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherished me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I wake each morning, you're still with me. Oh God, come, slay these bloodthirsty, murderous men, for I cry out, depart from me, you wicked ones. See how they blaspheme your sacred name and lift up themselves against you, but all in vain. Lord, can't you see how I despise those who despise you? For I grieve when I see them rise up against you. I have nothing but complete hatred and disgust for them. Your enemies shall be my enemies. God, I invite you, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on and lead me back to your glorious, everlasting ways. The paths that bring me to you. He has a plan for you, my sweet friend. A good, precious, perfect plan. He saw it all before the foundation of the world. Just soak it in. He knows who you are. He knows what you are supposed to be saying and what you're going to say. He knows every step of the plan. That's why we have to run into his arms and seek him, seek his way, because his way is paved. He's already made a way for you. That's why we have to get his vision, his way. Turn to Ephesians 1. It says there, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Get this, he destined us in love to be his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed to us on us in the beloved. Yeah, you're his beloved. There it is again. Read that passage in the Passion Translation. This is good stuff. Yeah, he chose us to be his very own, joining us to him before he laid the foundation of the universe. This has been his plan. This has been what he did, his perfect work before the foundation of the world. This isn't an afterthought. This isn't a let me save her man or him, man, because you know what? They just keep bombing. They keep messing up. I got to save them, those little sinners. Yeah. Yes, he saves us from our sin. Please hear me out. But it's for more than just that. He saved you into his beloved. Yeah. To be his own. You are a daughter of the King. You are a bride of Christ. You're a co-heir with him. And this was the plan before he laid the foundation of the universe. Get this. Because of his great love, he ordained you. Oh, whoa, 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 Cindy. I get that he was going to save me. I get that he wanted me to be his child, but he ordained me. Yes, yes, yes. That's what it says here. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Yeah, that perfect bride, spotless, pure, set apart, holy. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us, whoo, can you see it? Just cascading over us would glorify his grace. For that same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Somebody needed to hear this today. Do you know these plans that we've been planning, this time of getting to know who we are, getting to know who we're here for, what we're here to share, this plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Jesus Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Did you just hear what I just read? It's through the revelation of Jesus. He unveils his secret desires to us. As we get to know him and we get to be in union with him, as we press into that place with him and get to know who he's called us to be, what he's put inside of us, what he's speaking to us, as we get those messages, those words from him, that vision, as we get all of that, as we have that sacred, secret time apart with him, get this, he unveils his secret desires to us. The hidden mystery of his long-range plan. We're part of that long-range plan. Is anybody getting this with me? Oh, yeah. It's because of God's unfailing purpose that this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax. When God makes all things new in all heaven and all earth through Jesus Christ, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what? Before you were born, he gave you a destiny. And this destiny, he wants to impart it to you. He wants you to know. He wants you to hear. Because guess what? This is not about us making it happen. This is not about us writing down a bunch of to-dos. This is not about us writing down what we can see, because we just don't see clearly all the time. What he's wanting is for us to sit in his presence and hear his vision, his plan. And when we do that, my sweet friends, we've got it and we can run with it. Oh, hang on. We'll be back to that in a moment. Yeah, because he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God. This is his plan, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. God's purpose was that we Jews who were first to long for the messianic hope would be first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise to the glory of God. And because of him, when you who were not Jews heard the revelation of truth, who you believed in this wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He's given to us like an engagement ring. Where am I? It's a crown, y'all. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, it's his engagement ring to me, you guys. But Holy Spirit is our engagement ring given to us as a bride. It is the first installment of what's coming. He's our hope, promise of our future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience. My sweet friend, I just want to tell you today, God has a beautiful plan. It's so detailed. It's of such great detail and delight. He delights in it. He delights. This is his delight. He's delighted to implement it. And he wants to give it to you and to me so we can see it clearly, We can yoke up with him and trust him. This is also, we can trust him. And we get to be a part of it. My goodness, this is beautiful. So you can fulfill it. It's your destiny. So get your vision. Get away with God. Yeah, get away with him. Get your eyes on Jesus. He's going to show you the way, step by step by step. He wants it so clear that you're going to be able to run the race, this race. Turn with me to Habakkuk 2:2. In the Amplified, it says it this way. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Engrave it so plainly upon the tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarries, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Oh, yeah. He wants for us to write the vision. Listen to this in the Message. This is so good too. It says, then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what is coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. It doesn't lie. It seems slow in coming. If it seems slow in coming, just wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. You guys, God has a vision for you. And I believe he wants to give it to you. He wants to make it so clear that you're going to be able to know that you know that you know that you know exactly what his plan is for you, for your life. He wants for you to be able to know it so clearly you could write that vision. You could make it plain enough for you to run with it. That means it's got to be pretty big. Tried running lately? As you pass by, you ought to be able to see it so clearly you could run. I want to just challenge you today that this is not the end of this course. No. It is actually an invitation to a conversation, a continual conversation with the one who wants to show you the way all along the way. He has a beautiful plan for you. He wants to use you for that beautiful plan. He's not going to go put that on your pastor. He's not going to put that on your mama, your daddy. In fact, many times he says in scripture that unless you're willing to put aside what everybody else is thinking and hearing and saying and doing and hear him, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Excuse me. That's not that you're not worthy. It's just that here's how you hear it correctly. It's coming and learning from him. Today, I ask you, are you tired? Are you wore out? Are you burnt out on religion? He says, come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Mm-mm-mm. In the Amplified Bible, it says it this way. Come to me, all you who are you're weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. My burden is light. Mm-mm-mm. The Passion says it this way. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden, then come to me. Come on. Some of you need that as you jumpstart this year. Maybe you've been trying so hard to do things, and maybe this is the first message you should have heard. But are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. I will refresh your life, for I'm your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Do you remember how Jesus did it? It isn't just for how we teach. It isn't just for how we minister. It isn't just for what we teach. It's for who we are. It's for who we touch. It's for being ready to do whatever he asks us to do and not be held back by our ideas, our will, our ways, not be held back by the way the world is doing it, but really to hear him and have this life, this abundant life that he has for us. Oh, my sweet friends, God has got such a beautiful, beautiful year for you this year. It's beautiful. It is your very best ever. And I just want to challenge you today to pull apart, ask him for his vision. Ask him for that next step, that very next step. You know, our theme has been to prep for your next step. Today, this is how you do it. Pull aside and let him be your teacher. Let him be the one who shows you which way you're to go. He's so faithful. He is so true. He wants for you to hear him. He wants for you to come alongside of him. He wants for you to go the path that he wants for you to go. My sweet friend, today, I just ask you to just come apart with him. Come apart. Let him move in a way. Let him move in you in a way that this year truly is the year that you go for the greatest things, the things that you are totally created for, the things that he has designed you to do, the things that he has purposed for you to do. I ask you today to pull apart. Let this be an invitation to a conversation with him. Don't doubt. Don't be afraid. I ask you to just press into him and listen to his heartbeat. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's powerful. You guys, I hope that this year is your very best ever. I'm here for you. I want for you to know that I am just a message away. You can message me on any of my social media. Email me, CindyRushton@gmail.com. Come be a part of what we're doing. We're going to have some amazing things that are coming on every month. Every month, we're going to continue this time of mastermind, this time of growing together, stepping together. We have got, well, we'll just tell you more about it Thursday. Definitely plan to be with me on Thursday night at 7 p.m. because that is night we're going to celebrate where you all are. I'm here. That night is not going to be recorded. That night is just for those of us who are going to come together and celebrate. And we're going to be looking at what God's vision is for you and your ministry, your business, your life. Be sure to have some time between now and then to compile your points if you participated in the challenge, or also to maybe one of the challenges was to write your vision. Pull apart and ask him for your vision and share it. Let's share it with one another. Let's get a strategy for this year. We've got some amazing things we're going to do together, and I am so thankful that we get to do this as a community. And so you guys have an amazing day. I look forward to seeing you again Thursday. And you guys just take good care. And if you've got some things you need some help with as we wrap up, hey, I'm here. So anyway, you guys have a great day, and I'll see you again Thursday night. Bye.